Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted Show, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Voted as the number one most likable pastor on the airwaves, here's Pastor Rich.
That would be at least on the airwaves in Rockland County, where I am the only pastor on the airwaves. And thank you for being with us again. You are our faithful audience, and we love it you're out there. So God bless you, and please feel free to call us with your questions, your comments, and also feel free during the week to send us issues that you would like us to address on the air. And I think we're getting a call.
I think we're getting a call right now.
Right.
Pretty good.
You're not on.
There we go. We have a caller.
Hello. Hello. How can we help you?
Well, I'd like to know, what's the difference between, let's say, your services and, let's say, like a Catholic church service?
The difference between our services at the Clarkstown Reformed Church, our services follow the liturgy of the Reformed Church in America, the old Dutch Reformed Church. But if you came to them, you wouldn't find a whole lot of difference. We have communion every week. We are part of the Catholic Church written with a small C. And let me try to explain that, because going into historically, going into the century of Reformation, the 1500s, there was, in the West, Christianity. It was the Catholic Church. There was a unified Christianity, at least in the West. The Eastern Orthodox churches were already broken away from Rome, but in the Western European countries, there was the Catholic Church, and the Pope sat at the top of it, and the structure and the governance was according to the rules of that had been established for that church. Starting with Luther, the Reformation begins, and the Reformation says, hold on, there's too much corruption in this church. We would like to reform it. So put in your mind that this is not an effort to start a different church. Luther really only wanted to make the Catholic Church better. He wanted to end some of the corruption and some of the abuses, and they were many. I mean, the popes were having their children created bishops when they were three and cardinals when they were eight. And as hard as that is to believe now, when that type of thing doesn't go on, back in the Renaissance, there was tremendous corruption and abuse, both financially and in other ways.
Yeah, selling indulgences, yeah.
Selling indulgences. So Luther says, wait a second, let's get back to the pure message of the Apostolic Church. Luther was a scripture scholar. And instead of dialoguing with Luther, the Roman Church, Lord Acton says in another century, but also about the Catholic Church, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. So instead of engaging in a dialogue with Luther, they really began a persecution of Luther, which didn't work, and it didn't work for political reasons. And Luther is the beginning of what becomes a, I would say, magnificent array of other ways to be Christian. So when you go out of the century of Reformation, you don't have that one unified Catholic Church with the Pope at the top, but the word Catholic means universal. Mm-hmm. And so if you'd imagine white light going into a prism, when white light goes into a prism, it's refracted and you get all these beautiful colors that come out of it. Well, those beautiful colors can be seen as the array of different ways to be Christian. So all of Christianity, I would maintain, is part of the universal church. The Catholic Church is now Presbyterians, Lutherans, And you can go on. The members of the Reformed Church in America, the array goes on, and it gives people various ways to celebrate their Christian faith. Some of them are more liturgical, others are less liturgical, and I think it's God's way of saying, look, there are loads of ways to honor me. Find the way that works best for you and that deepens you in your faith, and when you find that, embrace it and love it and become a part of it.
I would recommend a movie, an excellent movie called Luther, starring Stacy Keach, made back in 2003. It's an excellent movie.
Yeah, I think based on a play by John Osborne. It was a very good play and probably a very good movie. Keach is a great actor. I think he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for the recommendation. Thanks for your call.
Shall I hold on for the other?
Yeah, and please leave your info with Steve, and we'll send you your gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Bye now.
And one of the great things we learned from a call like this is that there are Christians out there who are looking for ways to be authentically Christian. And within the past 10 years, the commentator and author Hugh Hewitt wrote a book that he entitled Embarrassed Believers. And the premise of the book is that Christians specifically are embarrassed to be Christians publicly. So we don't talk about our faith. We don't share our faith with others. We don't invite people who are in need into prayer. We don't pray for healing with other people. We are embarrassed to be publicly Christian. And he maintains that because of this embarrassment, the culture in America has become progressively coarsened. Because other folks with other values are not embarrassed to promote their worldviews, and they do so quite aggressively. So Hewitt would say over the past 50, 60 years, you see an uptick in terrible filth on the internet, for example. You know, pornography, violence, an upsurge of hatred and intolerance between people. And he credits at least some of these problems to the reluctance of Christians to enter the public square and to be publicly Christian, to bring our faith to play in the larger culture where we are competing in the marketplace of ideas. And so I think that's a very important question for us to ask ourselves. Are we fearful of letting our neighbors know what motivates us? Or, just to tick back a sec, it is what motivates us our Christian faith? Because there are loads of people who profess to be Christians but don't act terribly like Christians in a big way. What does it mean to be Christian? If all we're doing is keeping our a place in the pew warm for an hour or so a week, that's really not enough for the early church, for a guy like Luther, for a guy like me. The idea of Christianity isn't a belief system, it's a lifestyle. We have to act like Christians. Christians do, they just don't say. And it's not enough to believe a bunch of stuff. We have to let the beliefs that we have rooted in the teaching and the life of Christ, we have to let those beliefs make a difference in the way we act. And that's part of what Hewitt is saying in his book. We have to get off of our keisters, out of the churches, and into the world, and we have to start acting like disciples of Christ. And then secondly, he would say, it's not enough just to get out of the world and act like disciples of Christ. We have to let the world know why we act the way we do. So if there's a moment where you're expressing your kindness to someone, you're a nice guy. And that's this, nothing wrong with being a nice guy. But the person you're being kind to doesn't know why you're behaving the way you do. So it doesn't make a difference in that person's life. But if you stop to change an old couple's tire when you see that it's gone flat in the road, and after you're finished and wiping off your hands, you say to the couple, I'm happy to have helped you. God bless you. This is my way of giving honor to the Christ who saves me. Then you have made a difference in those people's lives that is far larger than just having changed a tire. And Hewitt would say that if you look at what Christians do in the world right now, there is tremendous, tremendous impact going on. Christians have founded and run schools, colleges, universities. They're responsible for hospitals and healthcare. I mean, if you look at just the names of some of the hospitals around us in Rockland County, Samaritan Hospital. And that's rooted in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. So Christians have laid a claim on the good works that have been traditionally rooted in Christian action. And it's not a bad idea to ask ourselves, what does it look like to act like a Christian right now? You know, there are opportunities in Rockland County. My good friend, Pastor Ed Ilaraza, has founded the Good News Association. And the Good News Association is a partnership of churches that has come together to make sure that the hungry have food. So they run food drives. They store food in food pantries. And they make deliveries to people who are hungry every week. And they do it without any government money. They do it as a shared service of Christian churches. But whenever they deliver food, they also pray with the people they bring food to. So it's a great way of being publicly Christian in that Good News Association. If you're interested in Ed or in his in the Good News Association or in helping with the food ministry that he has started, please just let us know, and I can put you in touch with him. And at a later date, we're going to have Ed on as a guest on the show. But again, if we look at what Christian action looks like, we just have to go to the scriptures, and we see that God wants us to take care of those in need, and to make sure the hungry have food, and the homeless have shelter, and the sick and suffering have care. And again, we've got Ed Ilaraza and the Good Samaritan Association. We also have Helping Hands of Rockland County. And Helping Hands of Rockland County is an interfaith association that has been formed to take care of the homeless, to see if we can help the homeless find homes, find shelter, and to make their lives easier while they struggle. And that, again, is an organization which is a partnership of Christians and Jews. I'm proud to say that I'm on their board of directors. So is my good friend Rabbi Paul Kurland. And together, we all on the board and those of us who are associated with Helping Hands are working to make sure that the homeless of Rockland County have a better life. It's not easy being homeless, but it's not easy being ignored either. And at least in Helping Hands, we are not ignoring the homeless. One of the things we're doing right now, that's a new initiative, we have raised funds and continue to raise them to purchase a mobile shower unit. It's a shower in a two showers in a trailer that will cart around in a truck and make showers available to homeless people where they live, or in places where it is convenient for them to get to the shower trailer and to get a shower. We hope to do that. Excuse me. We hope to do that in partnership with communities of faith around the county, so that those churches and synagogues and mosques can participate in this ministry by not only providing a space for the homeless to get showers, but also perhaps hosting a meal for them while they're there, and maybe providing some clean clothes that they can change into once they have showered. All of this is what it means to be a person of faith. And from my perspective, this is what it means to be Christian. It's not enough to be able to quote chapter and verse. There are too many Christians who can quote chapter and verse from the Bible, but do nothing to help those in need. And God, the God who speaks in both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament for Christians, says that's not enough. This is the sacrifice that I need to take care of those on the margins of your society, to feed the hungry, to take care of the widows and the orphans. That's what I ask you. And we are his hands. We are his heart. We are his eyes in our world. It is through God's people that God continues to act. And Chris, could we do our musical?
We sure can.
Portion.
And you are listening to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church, or check us out on our website, which is www.crcwestnyack.org. And to ask any questions during today's program, please give us a call. Our studio line is 845-429-1700. And for the musical portion of today's program, we will play Christ the Lord is Risen Today, sung by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own mezzo-soprano Gabriella Mikovic-Johnson, along with Susan Brown on organ. Enjoy.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumph. Alleluia. Sing ye hymns and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again a glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Dying once, he owed of sin. Alleluia. Where thy victory, O great, alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Nothing vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened
Thanks, Gabriella and Susan, and thank you, Chris, for that beautiful, beautiful music. That reminds us that at the heart of the Christian tradition is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And one of the things that he did when he appeared to his disciples on the first Easter Sunday, late in the day, in the evening, he appeared in that upper room. They were brokenhearted. They were fearful. And he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And as he says that to them, he says that to us when we are brokenhearted and when we are fearful. He says, "Peace be with you." He reminds us that we can lock the doors of our hearts, but no lock can stop him from entering. And he is always with us in the darkness that sometimes fills our hearts, our lives, and our worlds. We are never alone. And once we realize that, the miracle of his presence can take root in our lives. I spent a good deal of this program talking about how important it is for Christians to act with kindness and compassion in the world. And it is. It's important because that is the call and the message and the challenge of our Christ. He does not want us to remain locked up in rooms. He doesn't want us to remain fearful. He wants us to get out of our hearts, out of our rooms, out of whatever enslaves us, so that we can be his witnesses. He says, and this is in the end of the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes, "Then he said to them, 'This is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.'" I would just like to look at that for a moment, because at the bottom of all our action and at the bottom of all our mission is this simple command. We are to be witnesses to the message of forgiveness. And the way we witness forgiveness is by forgiving. It's by letting go of all the resentments that we may be holding on to. And as we do that, we are reminding those in our world. Jesus says to his disciples, "Yeah, I want this to get to the ends of the earth, but hey, start in Jerusalem. That's where they live." We have to start this where we live. It's no good to be a mission, to have a mission to the world, if the people under our roof think we're unloving. This starts with our husbands, our wives, our kids, our grandparents, everyone, all the people, our friends, our neighbors, all the people who are intimately a part of our everyday life. Jesus says, let them know that the message is forgiveness and repentance. Repentance, the word means just to turn back to God. It's a reminder that God's never gone. He's always there, ready for us to turn back to him. But when we turn back to God, we turn away from something too. The world is full of muck. The world is full of terrible values. And you see it every day in the hatred, the intolerance, the nastiness, the selfishness, the conniving that goes on in day-to-day life. And I'm not talking about the national political scene, although I could be. I'm talking about our businesses, our schools, our communities. We need to clean up our act, but we'll never do it by ourselves. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to get those Bibles out and start prayerfully looking at what God asks of us. And when we do that, we're not asking what God asks of them. It's one of the worst misuses of Scripture to use it as a club to pound somebody else. Oh, they're not good Christians. Look at they're doing that's so bad. It's why people turn away from religion. Because Christians use Christianity and Jews use Judaism as a club rather than as a compass. And the compass is there for us. And people will change not because we've talked them into changing. People will change when they see that we've changed. When they see that something in us is being transformed and transformed for the better. There's a scene in the movie When Harry Met Sally, when Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, their characters, Harry and Sally, they're out at the diner, and they're talking, and Sally goes into this extraordinary presentation or performance of ecstasy. And a woman in the nearby table, an older woman, says, I want what she's having. You know, when Lincoln was told by his generals that Grant was a drunk, Lincoln said, well, find out what he's drinking. I'll send him a case of it. Because he was a good general. And that's my point, really. Let people look at how well we're doing and say, what have they got? I'd like a case of it. Because Christianity is not taught. Religion isn't taught. It's caught. And we catch it from those who we see authentically living godly lives. Not self-righteous, but righteous lives. And that starts often with letting go, with forgiving ourselves. You know, all of us, if you look back at the, you know, sort of what we've done, who we've become in life, the older you get, the more true this is. We can say, oh, how could I have been so stupid? I can't change the past, can I? And the answer to that question, of course, is an obvious yes. You can't change the past. But you can put the past in God's hands. And in his hands, he can do wonderful things with it. Because you may have been in a different place if you had made other decisions, but you are where you are now, and that is sacred ground. So love where you are and grow from there. God forgives you. Forgive yourself and turn to God. And when you have done those two things and maybe found others who are interested in doing those things too, you will have gone a long way to being not embarrassed, but proud believers, and that is what God calls us to be.
The studio line is 845-429-1700. Please give us a call if you have any questions for Pastor Rich. That again is 845-429-1700.
And I think we're getting a call, so thanks, Chris, for summoning up the call gods. Hello, how can we help you?
Pastor Rich.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, it's Father Clem. How are you today?
Hey, Father Clem, how are you?
I'm doing great. I want to tell you, I've been listening to every show, and Tuesdays are so uplifting now. I really look forward to your sermons on Tuesday, and they are just quite astonishing. The things you say, you put into perspective, you don't put one religion against the other. You know, just God is for all, and... Are you there Sunday mornings at the Clarkstown Reformed Church? Like, when do you actually do a sermon on the pulpit?
Yes. Well, right now we're online, so our services are virtual, but we're starting back on Mother's Day, and our services are at 10:30. So we're looking forward to welcoming our whole congregation back. We've got plants for all the ladies. So and yes, I'm there every Sunday, even if we're virtual, I'm still there. But thank you. So where's your church?
Oh, I'm a father of four kids.
No, oh!
Not a father. Yeah. No, I'm Father Clem. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, where on earth is this parish? But
I used to do the Saturday morning sermon. I actually do the radio station, the afternoon drive on the station that you're on right now. But I really do appreciate what you do for the community here on WRCR, because it really is an uplifting program, and like I said, I personally spend a lot of time in my car driving around throughout the day, and I've got my timer on for Tuesdays to have Pastor Rich on, and just it, it just You know, I'm a man of God. He's done wonders for me. I neglected him the first half of my life, but accepted him wholly in the second half. And I just hope that everybody can be as receptive as I was and get the benefits. And by you preaching what you're doing, I think it'll guide people in the right direction.
Oh, thank you, Clem. Thank you so much. God bless you. I'd love to meet you and have lunch with you someday.
As long as you're paying for it, no doubt.
Actually, Chris will pay for it.
You got it. Take care, Pastor. Keep up the great work, and God bless.
God bless you. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
And for all of you out there who are either fathers or mothers or looking for a good place to come and worship, if you have none, let me invite you to our Clarkstown Reformed Church on Sundays, starting on Mother's Day. We're back, and it should be a glorious celebration. But if you are members of other churches, congregations, mosques, temples, synagogues, I really encourage you to find other believers and worship with them. Christianity, and indeed Western religion, is not something to be done privately. It's something to be done together with others, because together we enrich each other's journey. This is not even a Western insight. The Buddhists they meditate in zendos. They come together to meditate. And you think to yourself, well, what the heck do they do that for? They could stay home in their pajamas and do it in their living rooms. But in fact, there is an energy and a power that comes from being together with others who are searching for the ultimate. And that is what God is. God is the ultimate reality. God is the wisdom that lies at the heart of things, the energy that flows through and beyond all that is. Never created, never destroyed, always there. And however we're trying to get in touch with God, it is best to do it with others. The other thing, of course, is that other people ground you. It's very easy to become wifty religiously if you're a maverick. And you can draw all sorts of crazy conclusions. That's why we've had persecutions and witch trials and all that stuff, is because people don't really ground themselves in the authentic traditions of their faith. And a good religious community will do that, and a bad one won't. So if you're in a crummy church, get out of it. Get out of it as fast as you can. The Catholic bishops back in 1978 or thereabouts put out a document, Music in Catholic Worship, and in that document they wrote, and I quote, "Good liturgy can strengthen the faith, and bad liturgy can weaken or destroy it," close quotes. If that's true of liturgy, how much more true is it of churches? A good church can deepen and enrich your life with God, but a bad one can weaken or destroy you. And so when you sense that the church or the community you're in isn't connecting you to God and to one another in beautiful and loving ways, get the heck out of it, because religion connects. It doesn't divide. If your religion is dividing you from anyone, you're probably in the wrong place. Find some place where they're more loving and more accepting, and where you feel that the message is bringing you deeper and deeper into the love of God. That's what churches are for.
And the Clarkstown Reformed Church can be found at 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. Thanks for tuning in to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Catch us here every Tuesday right after the 10 a.m. news, only on WRCR AM 1700.